Eugenically Speaking by Edward Goodman. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Eugenically Speaking, a one-act play by Edward Goodman.
Una Braithwaite, read by Ariel Lipshaw.
George Coxey, read by Max Scherninger.
Part of Mr. Braithwaite, read by Todd.
Jarvis, a manservant, and narrator, read by Elizabeth Klett. Time, between today and tomorrow. Scene, a room in the Braithwaite mansion, richly but tastefully furnished. Among these furnishings it is necessary for the play to note, besides the door at the back, only the table that stands a little to the right of the centre of the room, with a statue on it, and three chairs, which stand one to the right, one to the left, and one in the middle. It is a winter afternoon, and the room is illuminated by invisible lights. Enter Una, followed by George Coxey. Una is a charming, fashionable girl of 20, with a suave blend of will and poise. George Coxey is a handsome, well-built, magnetic-looking youth of about 25. He is dressed in the garb of a streetcar conductor and carries the cap in his hand. Although somewhat inconvenienced and preoccupied with the novelty of his surroundings and his situation, he remains in the main in excellent self-possession, an occasional twinkle in his eye showing that he is even quietly alive to a certain humour in the adventure. Above all, his attitude is that rare one which we like to feel typical of American youth, of facing an unusual situation firmly, and seeing and grasping its possibilities quickly. He stands near the door, waiting, examining the room and warming his hands, while Una goes to the bell and rings it, and then proceeds to the mirror to primp a little. When she is finished, she turns and notices him.
"Why, my dear man, sit down."
She points to a chair at the right.
"Thanks. After you."
"Oh, excuse me, I forgot. You're a car conductor. Naturally, you're polite."
"Not naturally, miss. But I've learned."
"An apt pupil, too. Let me teach you, then, that the ruder you are to a woman, the more she'll hate you. Or love you."
She goes up to him and invites him with a gesture.
"Sit down."
George remains immobile.
"The polite are not only bourgeois, they're boring."
"When I know I'm right, I stick to it."
"But you must grow tired of standing."
"If I did, I'd lose my job."
"You have already. Sit down."
"After you."
Una, taking the chair center and sitting on it.
"You're splendid. Now."
George sits in the offered chair a little stiffly.
"Isn't that better than ringing up fares?"
George, smiling at his attempt at a pun.
"Fairly."
Una, rising, perturbed.
"No, you mustn't do that. That's vulgar."
George, rising in alarm.
"What have I done?"
Una, vexed again.
"Sit down. You mustn't jump up when I do."
He remains standing. Vexed but smiling, she sits.
"Well, there."
He sits down.
"You punned. You mustn't. We all like puns, but it's good form to call them bad taste."
Enter Jarvis the butler. Jarvis starts slightly at perceiving the situation, but controls himself.
"Did you ring for me, miss?"
"Yes. Please tell my father that I'd like to see him at once."
Jarvis goes out.
"Do you know the reason that you are here?"
"The $100 you gave me?"
"No."
"Yes. I wouldn't have left my job if you hadn't given me that."
"I suppose not. But, I mean, do you know why I brought you here?"
"I'm waiting to see."
"I wonder if you'll like it."
"Your father?"
"No, Dad's a dear. That is, he is when he sees you mean business."
Enter Mr. Braithwaite. He is a well-preserved man near 60, almost always completely master of himself. On seeing Coxey, he, too, gives a little start, and then controls himself.
"Una, dear?"
Una, jumping up in excitement.
"Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad you were in."
To George, who has risen, too.
"Keep your seat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?